Welcome back to the Mindset Entrepreneur Video Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Altman. Thank you for joining us again this week. And I have two guests, but my very special guest is actually Mike Petroselli. Because I just want everybody to know, before I introduce Rico, I had to actually be convinced to have Rico on the show because he's a New Yorker. And so, listen, here's the thing. I have a rule where I actually really guard my relationships with Yankee fans and New Yorkers. So we made an exception for Rico in this case because he's such a great guy.
Yeah, well, I'm not a Yankee fan.
Well, that's right. Of course. So Hall of Famer Rico Petroselli joining his son Mike. So happy to have both of you guys here today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here, Mark. Well,
thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So, guys, I really want to start out by asking you, you don't see a lot of father-son businesses. There's plenty of family businesses around, but a father-son working directly together. Rico, I want to start by asking you, I've just gotten to know Mike a little bit, but what is it that you saw in him at a young age that really told you he had that it quality to be successful in business?
Well, the first thing was that he was great with people. Very friendly, people liked him, you know, and they saw him, talk with him as a young kid, and I didn't think he was shy. I think my other sons were a little more shy, but Mike was a little more outgoing. So, you know, you start thinking, gee, I wonder what he might, you know, might like someday. Maybe it would be business. I mean, I loved business. Even when I was a player, I was always interested in getting involved in business. So
Mike, and let me ask you, having a father that's so successful, and regardless, when you have parents that are successful, I don't care what field they're in or what career they have, did you feel pressure in business to succeed knowing what your father had accomplished?
Well, I mean, I was about, I think, 11 years old when he was finished. So I was really young. Back then, I wasn't really thinking about that, but I, you know, you always picture yourself kind of, I mean, like a lot of us, doing what your dad did. So I'm thinking, man, you know, I'm going to be a Red Sox or a baseball player someday. And so I think what happens is you have an automatic, even though you don't realize it, an automatic pressure built in to succeed. And so, you know, there were certain aspects I loved about being around, you know, Fenway and growing up around that, like, you know, the people side of things. And people were always, the energy was unbelievable around, you know, the Red Sox and just, and Boston's a great city anyway. But I think it was that lure to be around something that was, you know, involved energy like that.
Plus, he grew a foot, so he's 6'7". And I said, don't worry about it. Play basketball.
Right, exactly.
Well, Mike, I got to tell you, you know, one of the things that really blew me away as I was getting to know you a little bit is, you know, sales is one of those callings that, you know, you don't grow up and say, geez, I can't wait to be a salesperson when I get older. And what's fascinating to me is that as a big sports fan myself, I've always felt that hitting a baseball is probably the single hardest thing to do in sports. And in business, being in sales is probably the hardest thing to do in business. So you've been exposed to both. So why do you enjoy sales so much? Because you don't find a lot of people who really love it. They do it because they're good at it. It's what they naturally are inclined to do. But you seem to really gravitate to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, like I said, I think the energy and being around people, being a people person, really, you know, really was kind of how I got into it. And then the challenge, because I was in sports, and I ended up playing basketball, you know, because it was I loved the pace better. But I think it was because of the challenge. You know, it's sports oriented. You know, if you're in sales,
it's competitive.
You have to hit. It's competitive. You have to hit numbers, and things like that. I think it was that aspect.
Yeah.
And then being out and seeing different people, not only, you know, not always being at a desk, even though, you know, sometimes you have to do paperwork and that type of thing. But it was always the aspect of getting out, meeting people, you know, the energy and the challenge of sales.
So for our audience, and we're going to show a few products later in the show, but the Petroselli Marketing Group is a promotional products company. And Rico, you know as well as I do, in life and in business, it's all about relationships, right? That's what it's all about. So, you know, trusting the business as the CEO of the company, trusting and leaving that as a legacy to your son, what is it that Mike understands about people? Because it's one thing to like people and get along with people, but what is it that Mike gets about people that's really helped the company grow so successfully?
Respect. He really respects the client, not just trying to make a sale and make a, you know, a margin. He wants to see the customer and the business succeed in this particular promotion. And that's why he's excellent, too, consulting with them. In other words, if you are looking for a theme of a particular event that you might be having, Mike would help you. You know, he'd present certain products that you might that might help, you know, help, you know, just make the event even much better.
So, Rico, you just said something, and I want our audience to really pay attention to it. It was very subtle, but it was very wise, and that is consulting with them, right? Because so many people, if they consult, they'll say, I'm a consultant for them.
Yeah.
But you said with them, and that speaks volumes of the approach you take, Mike. So how do you, that's a real differentiator when you consult with someone. So what is the approach you take to really make it a collaborative relationship?
Well, first of all, we have over 800,000 products in this industry.
That's it?
Which is insane. Yeah. We're looking for more.
But... Mike's going to tell you every single one of them right now.
Ready? Go. No, but so, you know, when I go to a meeting, I you know, people are kind of surprised sometimes because, you know, other than many of the items that we put our logos on, because, we, you know, if I'm in the giveaway business, I better have some giveaways to leave behind. But it's really, I come in with a notebook. Most of the time, and I just sit down and I want to listen from their perspective what they're looking to accomplish. You know, I mean, if I go in there with answers before I know the answers, then I'm just assuming and I'll make a fool out of myself because there's so many different directions to go.
So, Mike, I have to tell you really quickly is that it's funny. A lot of companies I talk to about doing different professional development training, and they'll say, well, I want to do better in customer service or close deals or overcome objections. I'm like, do you want to do better in listening? Because listening is
absolutely.
The single most
no
important.
Doubt.
So the fact that you call that out is awesome.
Yeah.
Rico, I want you to reflect back on the lessons you learned from your playing career. And when you opened up Petrocelli Marketing Group in 1999, congratulations on about to be your 20th anniversary. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
98% of businesses fail, just for the record, and you're going into your 20th year. So kudos to the both of you for that.
Very fortunate.
Thanks.
So what is it that when you started that business, some lessons you learned from baseball that you knew you could apply to business that would really help Petrocelli Marketing Group be successful?
You know, actually, when I first got into it, it was all new. You know, I really didn't know what to expect. I knew that I had to do everything. I mean, it was me, you know, so I had to do the orders, all the paperwork, everything, finances, which I had done prior to that with two other businesses, so it wasn't really new, but I didn't know what to expect, you know. And as I went along, Mike suggested the business to me, and so I said, I'll look into it, you know. And I said, Leia, let's do it. I'm going to do it. But baseball, every day was... trying to help the team win, number one, but you wanted to do something to help them win. And you had to have goals because you wanted to hit 300, you wanted to knock in 100 runs, maybe hit 30 home runs, let's say. And so every day you were striving for that and to also help the team defensively as well. And I learned, because I got into broadcasting and they would say, oh, you're going to get excited because as soon as that red light goes on, you know, you're going to get in there. And I, you know, I got into that, and I said, "Yeah, I like it, but it's okay." But business, every day getting up, it was like you were going to the ball field, and you were trying to hit 300. You were trying to make that sale, trying to build a business. I got excited. I couldn't wait to get up every morning to go out there. This is great. And I would tell Mike. I said, "Mike, look how many products. Almost everybody's a potential customer because promotional." I mean, you need to do it. I really was convinced that companies need to keep their name out. There's different ways, but probably the least expensive is promotional products.
So, Rico, but you know something, you make some great points. I want to ask you about mental preparation because I think in business, there are so many ups and downs in business, just like sports. So talk about that resiliency aspect in that mental preparation in business and how the grind of a long baseball season set you up for business.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's right. It's the long run. It's not just, you know, what do they say? It's the marathon and not the sprint.
Sprints, yeah.
And it's true. It's true. You have to, you know, get yourself set for that. Baseball, you learn it. You know, they tell you about the coaches. But you got to go through it yourself. And this was, you know, a new business, and I had to go through it. But you do, you know, that's one of the keys to being, and you see it in the superstars, that adversity, they have a bad day, and it's like, that guy was lucky out there if he's a hitter, you know, because I'll get him the next time. And you just don't accept getting down, you know what I mean, saying I'm no good. Kari Yastrzemski was one of the best at it. Tremendous mental toughness. And it's not easy because you care and you love it. You know, you're making a living, you know, sales mm-hmm. and your mm-hmm. business. And it's tough when you get rejection. But that's the key, is to come back.
So, Mike, let me ask you, you know, one of the things that I think baseball is a microcosm for the real world in a couple of ways. It's one of the few things in life you can succeed 30% of the time and still be considered really good at your trade. But you know what I think is interesting about baseball is, as a hitter, you can hit a flare base hit and really get lucky and get a couple of hits. And you could hit the ball as hard as you can and hit two line drive outs. And if you look at the box score, it looks like you had a bad game. Mm. My question to you is, when you think about that analogy, it's all about habits, isn't it? It's all about habits and behaviors that really make you good at what you do. Right. As an entrepreneur, are there specific habits and attitudes that you've developed that, regardless of your performance and being judged on luck or not, that you can go to bed at night and every way and say, no, I'm consistent with these habits? No softballs here, Mike.
Yeah, no.
We don't do softballs on the Mindset Entrepreneur podcast.
It's perfect. I think it does start with an underlying attitude, you know, and I think, you know, even the people that I hire, you know, I think that you need to be prepared to work with all types of people, and I think you have to have a certain amount of, you know, you have to have set goals, but you also have to keep an open mind. And I think the open mind, you know, of never knowing, you know, being ready for not knowing what might be coming down the line, especially in this industry where there's so many different products, that you have to have a certain amount of being ready for anything.
Well, I think you're talking about. Go ahead, Rico.
I was going to say, one of the things you have to have. We were talking outside before the show. Passion. It is true. You have to. It's got to be something you like that you get excited about. And of course, for me, baseball sports was. I mean, you couldn't wait. I loved it. And then the broadcasting, which I still do some. You know, some radio I liked. But when the business. I got that feeling again. It was a passion. Mm. I couldn't wait to get out there, meet people. You know, yeah, I got fortunate because if they were Red Sox fans, I got, you know, they let me in. But then the tough, you know, you still had to have the prices and you had to do the job.
But let's talk about that. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I feel like there's a perception that you guys, an unfair perception that you have to deal with that says, Rico, if it's you, it's, oh, well, you got the name, and if it's Mike, you got the name and it's your dad, that you're riding his coattails. Mm. So when people share that with you, and really, to me, I'm frustrated for the both of you, for people who think that, not because I like you and we're friends, because it just minimizes your success and your hard work, and it's just not fair. So, Mike, for you, if you deal with that mentality, how do you deal with it?
No. For me, I whenever I would go into an account, and this is even before the business, I went in as Mike Petrocelli. I didn't want people to see me as you're the son of, so that I'm carrying this aura around me. I wanted people to know me and know the genuineness of me wanting them to succeed through the products that I sold. So it was actually very easy. And if people did have that kind of mentality, like, oh, you're just who you are, then you know what? My service is going to prove that I'm beyond who just my name. You know, I mean, anybody can have a name and get in a door because of a name or a situation, but you're only as good as the way that you, carry through, follow through, and that approach,
agreed.
I think. You know,
so, guys, what are some misconceptions about promotional products, the industry itself? I'm sure, like, I can tell you just from my point of view, I was joking with the both of you that if I have one more water bottle or stress ball, I'm going to get very stressed.
Stress balls
are making me feel more stressed, actually. So what is it about that you know going in when you meet people that you know you have to kind of tackle because there's assumptions being made?
One thing I do is actually I don't want to just sell pens, mugs, hats, that type of thing. I question people, why do you want to buy those? Are you just buying them by default because you just want to hand them out like candy? And is that the best use of your dollar? I mean, if you think about it, you know, what's a promotional product? It's just a product that carries your brand, and your brand is the most important part. So where is your brand going to land when these people, you know, carry this product? Is it going to be a piece of junk that equates your company or the theme behind it, you know, with a junky product? Or are you going to, you know, use something that can be more innovatively thought of, you know, that can be either sustainability or, you know.
So, Mike, you know, with the 20 years experience that the company has, you must be very on top of the trends in the industry. What are you seeing now from your experience and your research about where the industry is going and what are the directions you're giving your clients to make sure they're maximizing that potential?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I think, you know, the key is to find out where they want, you know, who the recipients are going to be. So we actually turn the tables. We try to think from the perspective of our clients because we want to know, hey, where do you want your brand to land, to stay in front of people, and also what kind of message do you want the item and your brand to carry? Because that's most important. There's a lot of, you know, the sustainability is a big theme right now, recycling. In not wasting products.
We get new products, too. I mean, new products come in. I know you wanted to show a couple of products, but it's their manufacturers are inventing, I guess, you know, various different types of products to help companies, you know, something a little different. But I think the business is, people think it's junk business. Tchotchkes or something?
Tchotchkes.
Yeah, I get some.
Yeah.
You got to be true. I'm telling you, you have to get your name out there, especially with nowadays, it's the competition and social media, you know, all that stuff. You really do. It's important.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I think gets understated about your industry is part of the job you both have is you have to vet out the vendors who you're doing business with to protect your customers and make sure you're doing the right due diligence.
Yeah.
So let's
there's
talk. I know there's a couple of products that I think are really worthwhile to show to our audience. And I think as you show these, Mike, I think it's important for our audience to recognize that the Petroselling Marketing Group is very focused on differentiating themselves. You know, it's not about pens and mugs. If that's what you want, certainly they can provide it. But they're about, you know, really making a difference for branding of your company, as Mike mentioned. So, Mike, why don't you kind of show us what you got here?
Yeah, right now, I mean, there's, you know, with some of the brand name items out there, the beauty of anything drinkware oriented is that it's a transit product. You know, you can carry it around. It's going to go from one place to another. So if you put your brand with whatever message you have on there, you know, you can carry it from one place to another. It's constantly, it's all about impressions too. It's you know, it's your brand. You know, again, this is a nice quality product. And this particular one, with the whole plastic straws going away, this has a reusable silicone straw in it, which is actually going to become probably a more, you're going to see these more and more.
So that's the big piece, because I've seen a lot of the Insular mugs. I mean, that's nice, but it's the environment piece.
Yeah.
Really, you're addressing there with that straw.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. And that's, you know, it goes along with it. And this is happens to be a vacuum sealed. So it keeps drinks hot for 6 hours. And you'll literally, the next day, you'll have ice in this if you put ice in it.
So, Mike, let me ask you a question. I think a lot of people think about when they buy promotional products, and you tell me if I'm on par here. I think a lot of people think to themselves, well, I do want to care about the environment, depending on how much it's going to cost me. So is there a significant increase in cost when you go to something environmentally friendly like that?
I mean, not with this particular one. I mean, some of the recycled products, because of the need to recycle and make them into new products, I think there's some cost involved there.
Yeah.
But there's some paper products that are pretty.
But no
expensive.
One should make a blanket assumption that automatically, if you're being environmentally friendly, there's going to be a big increase.
No, I mean, if you think of the return on investment on this thing, if you had this for 2 years. I mean, you're talking tremendous ROI on the
and that's attractive. It's attractive, and people would want to keep that.
And there's multiple colors.
Yeah.
You can print all multicolored on
Mike,
this.
Mike, by the way, big brownie points for using ROI on Mindset Entrepreneur podcast. We love those terms.
It's a great term. Great term. So
yeah, your father could use one of those.
it's Brooklyn too. You're from Brooklyn.
I know. Look at it,
Mike. This is nice. Does your father get a discount? That's what I want to know.
He charges me more.
Okay, well, there we go. All right, and the other product you brought to the show.
Yeah, the other item is very interesting. You won't see a lot of these, but this is a two-sided piece, which, the cool thing is that this is both embroidered and screen printed. So you have the embroidery is always perceived as a higher-end, form of advertising. And so you have it on this side. It's a double-sided hoodie.
It's very thick. I feel like we're on QVC right now.
Nice. Yeah.
It's very thick, and for right now,
only 800,000 left. 800,000
left.
Yeah, exactly. But no, you also have, you can do a double side. So if you, especially with schools and that type of thing, you can you have another capability to print on the other side. So this is happens to be Porsche, but it could be anything.
Oh, yeah.
And it's great, very, with the upcoming cooler temperatures.
And Mike, sometimes I'm feeling gray, sometimes I'm feeling green. It gives me that flexibility, too.
So
the zipper, too, you're going to love that.
It's got a zipper pocket, yep.
Okay.
So we look for the different, there's a lot of different products out there. Right now, for instance, we were talking about earlier in the Wall Street Journal, which is a great business publication, they were talking about how big T-shirts are. T-shirts are an everyday fashion product, but they really are a very mainstream item right now.
Well, so, and I want to just make one more comment about this. I know over the years that various companies I've had, we bought shirts or sweatshirts or things like that, and one of the biggest disappointments I've had is people think, I want to get shirts, but they don't think of the material and they don't think of the quality.
Exactly.
So this is high quality, but it's important because if you're giving to your staff or to clients, and it's poor quality, it really reflects what you think is a good thing could reflect very poorly.
Yeah.
So that's a great example. Guys, last question, just to finish up the show. What do you think biggest challenges, in business as if you were to give advice to fellow entrepreneurs, for each of you respectively, what would you say your biggest piece of advice is to overcome some of the challenges they might face?
Well, to me, it's don't be afraid of competition. I mean, you look for ways to be better than the next guy, but there's going to be competition out there. I mean, you look at gas stations and the McDonald's and so on, right next to each other. So don't worry about that. Just go do your job. Take care of your customer. Work as hard as you can. And, just let things happen.
Mike?
Yeah, I would say probably the most important thing that we discovered was that make sure you're going after the right customer.
Mm.
It takes the same amount of time to process an order for 250 pens as it does for 100,000. And so if you're spending your time on companies, if you're a B2B company like we are, then you could really be wasting your time going after smaller accounts that really won't make up the amount of money that you need to be sustained.
They're important.
Yeah.
We have small accounts.
Right.
But I know what you're saying.
But to actually go after certain, I think the size that you go after, and it doesn't mean you have to go after $2 billion companies. In fact, it's better not to. You have to find the sweet spot for
whatever
business you're in.
That's great advice. So this PetrocelliMarketingGroup.com, correct? Is that the website? I want to make sure I have it.
No, it's actually PetrocelliMKT.
Oh, Petrocelli M. Glad I asked. PetrocelliMKT.com. And Rico is also still fulfilling his broadcasting passion on Sirius XM Radio, 8 to 10 on Saturday mornings. Remember When, a show with Ed Randall. So if you tune into that. And before we go, Rico, I have to tell you, what an absolute thrill and pleasure. I mean, Mike, you're pretty good, too. But Rico, honestly, big Red Sox fan, big fan of yours, and what a thrill to have you here. And I just want to ask you, if you could share with our audience before we go, what was your greatest baseball memory during the course of your career?
Well, I mean, I have to say my claim to fame, the 67 series, catching the last ball, that was a big thrill. But also in 75 when we won the American League championship, they're playing in that World Series was a big thrill. But, you know, just making the major league, a dream come true for me. I remember the first game, you know, I got my first hit. I was, I think, 18 years
still?
Old. I still have the,
have the ball,
yeah. And just, I'm so thankful that I got the opportunity to be able to play Major League Baseball. I mean, you know, it was a dream come true.
Do you have any solutions for baseball these days before we sign off to bring the fans back?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure yet, but they've got to do something, speed up the game, whatever it is. But, yeah, there's a lot of kids not watching, you know. They'll watch the highlights now, see? That's what they do, and won't watch the games. And so that's not good. Not a good sign.
Well, thank you both again. Rico, Mike Petroselli, thank you guys very much. And thank you for joining us for another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur Video Podcast. We'll see you next time.